Everybody's talking at me.
CRN Digital Talk Radio, Chuck Wilder here, Tomas at the network. We're live across America and around the world at crntalk.com. Today's guest, Judd Garrett, author of No Wind and also contributor to Real Clear Politics, looking at his latest, including Trust the Science. In the second hour, from the new American, Selwyn Duke. Let me check the title of his latest. Yes. New York City mayoral race. The Dems are back to degenerating our system. Oh, what a mess up they had there. All right. In the news this weekend, Independence Day, also called 4th of July or July 4th in the United States, the annual celebration of nationhood. It commemorates the passage of the Declaration of Independence by the Continental Congress, July 4th, 1776. Independence Day is celebrated on Sunday, July 4th in the United States, so stay safe if you're celebrating with fireworks. Speaking of fireworks, in 4th of July celebrations, fireworks signify national pride and patriotism. They have been in use in China since at least the 12th century, and in the 15th century they became popular with European monarchs as a way to celebrate national triumphs, the restoration of peace, and the monarchs' own birthdays. Now, fireworks have been part of Independence Day in the United States since its first celebration, 1777. Tropical Storm Elsa has become the first hurricane of the 2021 season after strengthening rather quickly. As Elsa moves into the northern Caribbean, it will have some land interaction, possibly with Hispaniola and Cuba, which should weaken the storm. National Hurricane Center reported a sustained wind of 74 miles per hour, gust up to 86 miles per hour, reported this morning in Barbados, got it, thank you. Forecast confidence is not great with this one, as our two major forecast models are in big disagreement on the strength of the storm. Like the models are fighting each other. Well, at least nine people, including two girls ages 9 and 1 month, injured yesterday in a pair of shootings on Chicago's South Side, raising concerns ahead of the routinely violent 4th of July weekend, according to reports. It's not the holiday weekend yet, and people started shooting. The next thing you know, there's a child shot in its mother's worst nightmare, according to Pastor Donovan Price. Chicago police said the one-month-old girl was struck in the head after three males jumped out of a black Jeep Cherokee around 8:15 p.m. in the city's Inglewood neighborhood and began shooting in several directions. The trio then hopped back in the vehicle and left the scene, no one in custody. The baby was shot while still strapped in a car seat, police spokesman Tom Ahern told the Chicago Sun-Times. She was taken to a local area hospital in a critical condition before being transferred to Comer Children's Hospital. A group of people held a prayer circle at the hospital as an SUV parked near the entrance was riddled with at least three bullet holes. The incident occurred less than 6 hours after another girl, 9, was wounded in the shooting that also injured a man, 61, near the border of the Grand Crossing and Kathman neighborhoods, according to police. That was in the 800 block of East 79th Street when another vehicle approached and someone inside opened fire about 2:45 p.m., no arrest reported. Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot says 90% of her critics are motivated by two things, racism and sexism. Her comments came in an interview with WTTW, a local PBS station, discussing the city's recent surge in violence and those criticizing her leadership efforts. Lightfoot said that about 99% of her criticism is motivated by racism and sexism. When asked how much of the negativity she faced is based on her gender and race, quote, "Look at my predecessors," she said. "Women and people of color are always held to a different standard. I understand that. I've known that my whole life." And she added that she's fighting for the residents of Chicago. You know, my opinion, The residents of Chicago are already fighting. Mayor, pay attention. Back to the news. Nearly 1,500 people have been shot so far in Chicago in 2021. 1,500 people. A 12% increase compared to 2020. 59% increase compared to 2019, according to the Chicago Police Department's crime statistics for the week ending June 27. The Supreme Court yesterday upheld voting restrictions in Arizona in a decision that could make it harder to challenge other voting measures put in place by Republican lawmakers following last year's elections. The court, by a 6-3 vote, reversed a lower court ruling in deciding that Arizona's limits on who can return early ballots for another person and refusal to count ballots cast in the wrong precinct are not racially discriminatory. The Federal Appeals Court in San Francisco had held that the measures disproportionately affected Black, Hispanic, and Native American voters in violation of the landmark Voting Rights Act. Justice Alito wrote for a conservative majority that the state's interest in the integrity of elections justify the measures. In dissent, Justice Kagan wrote that the court was weakening the landmark voting rights law for the second time in 8 years. Quote, "What is tragic here is that the court has yet again rewritten in order to weaken a statue that stands as a monument to America's greatness and protects against its basest impulses. What is tragic is that the court has damaged a statue designed to bring about the end of discrimination in voting." I respectfully dissent, Kagan wrote, joined by the other two liberal justices. The challenge Arizona provisions remain in effect in 2020, because the case was still making its way through the courts. And President Joe Biden narrowly won Arizona last year, and since 2018, the state has elected two Democratic senators. Well, let's see here. While a handful of California officials deliberate on how to best divvy up a historic $75 billion budget overflow, yes, $75 billion overflow, gas-powered vehicle owners will still be paying more to fill up their tanks. The state's motor fuel excise tax is set to increase today, up 0.6 cents to more than 51 cents a gallon of motor fuel, and the state also adds more than 7 cents a gallon in fees. Now, with federal, state, and local taxes, the average cost for a gallon of unleaded is now approaching $5 in many metropolitan areas of California. The tax passed in 2017 is projected to rake in more than $50 billion in the first 10 years of increased cost. Those funds will be funneled into infrastructure, you know, fighting global warming, hint, hint, public transportation projects across the state. The 2019 hike made California motor fuel-related taxes the highest in the nation. Now, the small increase won't result in a significant price difference at the pump, but it is enough to get opponents fired up. Senator Brian Jones, Republican, is among a group of lawmakers fighting to put a hold on the hike. Quote, "Why are we asking California taxpayers to spend even more money out of their limited resources in a COVID year with unemployment as high as it is?" he said. "We need the governor to step up today and backfill the excise tax with some of the surplus that the taxpayers have already paid." Jones and others saw their initiative to block the automatic increase stopped by Democrats on Monday. Quote, "Governor Newsom and other Democratic leaders are chauffeured around in state vehicles, and they don't have to worry about the skyrocketing cost of gasoline in California," Jones said. "Many Californians lost their jobs and businesses during the state-ordered COVID shutdown. The least the state can do is take some of the bloated budget surplus and help lower the cost of gasoline that Californians pay." Senator Andrew Brogus, Republican out of Fresno, created a petition to stop the annual inflationary increase, and quote, despite California's budget surplus of $75 billion, gas taxes will rise again in July. They went up today. The increase is estimated to cost California drivers $83 million next year alone. Gas taxes are estimated to have increased the cost of living for a typical family of four by $650 to $800 a year. Well, and they say the last thing Californians need is another tax. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, guess what he did? Well, he raked in a fundraising haul of over $1 million. Yep, in one of his most public events since becoming the subject of federal and state investigations amid controversy, the Democrat, who is facing misconduct allegations by several women and backlash for his handling of the coronavirus pandemic, held the $10,000 a head fundraiser on Tuesday, bringing in over 150 attendants at the event held at the Manhattan Rockefeller Center. Quote, everyone was posing for pictures like nothing was going on, one person who has attended several Cuomo fundraisers told the Wall Street Journal. At the event, Cuomo is reported to have discussed what he deems are his greatest accomplishments as governor, included raising the state's minimum wage and shoring up the state's infrastructure. And then he also attacked socialists, said they were living in a fantasy land, basically, and he attacked defund the police, said Adam Eldiger, social action director. Most of the attendees were longtime supporters of Cuomo and close allies, including a lot of administration officials. Well, the more than $1 million raised from the event is expected to be reflected in a campaign disclosure report due in July. In January, Cuomo already had $17 million in campaign cash. Well, he wouldn't even need a government car, right, with all that money? You know, I'm talking about buying the gas. Yes, of course. Well, for many Americans still waiting, believe it or not, to receive their tax refund, it appears the wait could be far from over. The National Taxpayers Advocate federally authorized report to Congress found that the IRS held an unprecedented number of tax returns for manual processing this year, leading to major delays and millions of Americans waiting months for their refunds. Didn't we go through this last year, too? Yes. Well, the 2021 filing season was the sequential definition of a perfect storm, the report says. No one could have predicted a global pandemic or the lasting and lingering impact to taxpayers, IRS employees, and tax administrations during the last 15 months. To state the obvious, this filing season has been challenging for tens of millions of taxpayers and anything but normal for the poor IRS and its employees. I added the poor, yes. All right, anything but normal for the IRS and its employees. And at the end of the 2021 filing season, the IRS had 35.3 million unprocessed returns. That's four times more than just 2 years ago. I say, why don't you hire a whole bunch of people and get it taken care of. All right. Hey, the one and only Judge Garrett standing by, and we'll be talking about, amongst other things, trust the science. Be right back.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
Peanuts was probably the most beloved comic strip in the history of the world. And now there's an artfully assembled documentary about its creator, Charles Schulz. It's called Who Are You, Charlie Brown? And available on Apple TV+.
Peanuts is just its own planet.
I think Charlie Brown is just a little bit of what all of us have inside of us.
That's the voice of the real Charles Schulz, who died at 78 some 21 years ago. But unfortunately, this handsome tribute film includes generalized expressions of appreciation from oddly assorted celebrities rather than deeply revealing recollections from Schulz himself or his immediate friends and family. The animation of Charlie Brown, Lucy, Linus, Snoopy, and the rest of the gang is all lovely, even heartwarming at times. The central question posed by this promising project is never fully answered, but it's still worthy of 2.5 stars and your attention to ponder, who are you, Charlie Brown?
Deb's constipation with belly pain, discomfort, and bloating kept giving her grief. She talked to her doctor to get some relief. Turns out Deb had irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C, which was a start. Saying yes to Linzess helped her do her part.
Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives. It lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. There could be more to your story with IBS-C. Talk to a doctor today. Say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by AbbVie and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
When you really want Italian food, you have got to get to Columbo's. Columbo's Italian Steakhouse and Jazz Club. Colorado Boulevard, Eagle Rock. It's that little neighborhood place you wish was down the street from you. Citizens, no need now to clamor for culinary gustatorial delights. Dreams do come true. Columbo's has triumphantly reopened its golden doors to feed the famished and soothe the savage beast. Bask in the delights of Columbo's succulent steaks, Neptune's superior offerings from the seven seas, Columbo's family Italian specialties, and, of course, their world-famous meatballs. And it's all so affordable. Yes, Columbo's, the ninth wonder of the world, the Southern California pantheon dedicated to unrivaled and unparalleled yum-yum. Columbo's, that little neighborhood place you wish was down the street from you. Columbo's, mangia bene.
Everybody's talking at me.
Chuck Wilder, CRN. My guest is Judd Garrett. And after 6 years as a professional football player, including with the 1993 Super Bowl champion Dallas Cowboys, he then began a 12-year coaching career with the Saints, Dolphins, Rams, Cowboys, and served another 12 years as personal executive with the Cowboys. Now, Judd has written 2 screenplays. He's a frequent contributor on topics of sports and politics to Real Clear Politics. No Wind is his first published novel. And by the way, he's married and the father of 6 children. His blog is objectivityistheobjective.com. Hey, Judd. Welcome back, sir. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
I got a big celebration, do you, for Sunday, July 4th. I know you're a patriotic type guy.
Yeah, we're gonna be barbecuing in the backyard if the rain holds out. But if not, we'll move it inside and we'll still celebrate.
You'll move the rain inside and go out back. Yes, there
you go. Hope so.
All right. And, of course, you'll be wearing those masks, right? No matter where you are, indoors, outdoors, in the shower. Boy, I'm telling you. Trust the science is Judge Garrett's latest, and he says the new catchphrase these days to bully people into compliance is trust the science. Thoughtsy, quote, unquote, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you hear that almost every day. You're watching TV. People mm-hmm. are saying it to you in public. And, you know, what does that really mean? I mean, I ask the question, isn't it science that brought us this pandemic in the first place? Didn't the virus come from a scientific laboratory? Weren't they so arrogant, the scientists, to believe that they could genetically manipulate a virus and no harm would be done? So, you know, I'm not someone who's against science, but you can't just blindly trust science in everything that it does, because there are a lot of times when science creates more harm than good.
You know what? And a perfect example of that, listener, Judd Garrett, in this posting, mentions, let me see, I'll just use the author's name, Mary Shelley, all right, 100 years ago, how science can go wrong. What were you talking about when you mentioned her?
Well, she wrote the book Frankenstein, and that was a warning of how how science can go off the rails. Scientists trying to play God, creating this human being, Frankenstein, and in the end, he created a monster, which ended up terrorizing the village and all that. So her novel was a warning of, and this is from 100 years ago, of the dangers, basically, I say the arrogance of science. I think science that's humble and has humility is great, but when scientists become too arrogant, they think they can play God, that's when things really get bad.
You know, and I'll tell you, Judd, it's almost like they're playing around with that word scientist or science and doctor and, you know, expert and all this. Because when you got a Dr. Jill, first lady, you know, you see where I'm going there? All of a sudden, the importance is sort of lost. I don't think anyone should be able to be called a doctor. You know, change the name of that diploma you got because you knew how to bake cookies or whatever the heck it was, you know. But you say, you know, that science is made up of scientists, human beings who are fallible and perfect. You know, they're not always experts, and boy, we're seeing that on the case now. So who do you trust if you can't trust Dr. Fauci?
Well, that was the thing. I mean, he was the guy that was foisted on us as this is the guy we have to listen to. This is the guy we have to follow. And the further you got to know about his background, I mean, his hands were all over what was going on. He was funding the gain-of-function research, which created this virus. He lied about it again and again and again. He gave us false information about how to deal with this virus. So he has the title of doctor, and we're supposed to bow down to him like he has all the answers. And you know what? He was susceptible to all the human frailties that the rest of us are. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he let us down as much as anybody. So you can't really hide behind, you know, the title doctor and suddenly, you know, I'm infallible.
Another perfect example, Judd, is we got to go into this break. Another perfect example is Dr. Theodore's or whatever his name is with WHO. He ain't no doctor either. Yeah. Well, listen, Dr. Chuck's going to take a break here, and then we'll be right back with Judd Garrett. Read all of his excellent, very informative articles and postings at objectivityistheobjective.com. Objectivityistheobjective.com.
Tired of lockdown? Let the reconnect begin. You belong here. Welcome home to the magic of Angelo's and Vinci's Restaurante in Fullerton, California. Check out our new spacious outdoor dining al fresco. Romantic, market lights. It looks like a movie set. Dine under the stars and enjoy our tasty Angelo's and Vinci's pizza, pasta, seafood, chicken, salad dinners, and more. In the cool of the evening, come enjoy our award-winning menu, new wine list, specialty cocktails like our Peach Bellini Martini, appetizers, and more. Angelo's and Vinci's now open every day from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. for relaxing outdoor dining. No reservations needed. Just come on in for delicious Italian food. Angelo's and Vinci's Restaurante, 550 North Harbor Boulevard in Fullerton. Call 714-879-4022. We're going to need a lot of pasta to get through this year. Come to Angelo's and Vinci's at 550 North Harbor Boulevard in Fullerton today.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. That's 800-633-1378.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
Let's talk about your credit cards. When you first start using them, it's a slow drip. You make charges, then more charges, then bills come, and they keep coming. When you open your statements, the floodgates come pouring in. You realize you have more credit card debt than you can afford, and you're barely making the minimum payments. Wouldn't it be nice to make one affordable payment and have all your credit card bills covered? Make this free call and learn our responsible way to get your credit card bills paid and under control.
Sponsored by Consumer Education Services, a nonprofit organization.
800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. That's 800-876-3643.
CESI is not a loan company. The establishment of a debt management plan may adversely affect your credit rating. Nonpayment of debt may lead creditors to increase finance and other charges to undertake collection activity, including liquidation.
Everybody's talking at me. Chuck Wilder, CRN, with my guest Judd Garrett, author of No Wind, discussing his article, Trust the Science. You know, we're talking about labels that people get. I'll just give you a real quickie here. I used to tell people, and especially when you're trying to impress some of the females, I guess, you know, when you're at a nightclub or something, Chuck Wilder, I'm an MD. Oh, wow, diddy-daddy-daddy-daddy. And I thought you were a disc jockey. Oh, well, I am. I'm the music director for the radio station. Oh, MD, got it there. You never know. And you mentioned in this thing about, you know, all this work they supposedly were doing, and then it escapes, right? And you say, were the scientists so arrogant that they believed they would know the exact evolutionary path of the many possible paths that this virus could take before it started infecting all the humans? Why didn't they already have a vaccine waiting for the problem that might come up?
Yeah, I mean, that was my question. I mean, what are they doing this gain-of-function research for? I thought it was to get ahead of a potential naturally occurring virus and have a vaccine waiting for them. But there's a couple problems with that. There's a lot of different evolutionary paths that the virus can take to become infectious to humans. So how do they know which path they would be on? And secondly, since this did escape from a lab, apparently, you know, why did they already have, develop a vaccine to handle this virus if it did escape? So my question is, what were they doing? Was this just sort of mad scientist stuff, or
right?
Was there another agenda that was going on? I mean, some people you know, I don't know if there's evidence to this, but some people suggested that maybe it was being created, you know, as a biological weapon. I'm not making that accusation.
Yes. Against the enemy, you know. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Did you hear? Did I lose you there? And I don't think so.
No, I'm here.
Yeah, like you were saying, a biological weapon against your enemies, like maybe the people that, you know, you'd like to take over. Let's see, who's in second place? Oh, yeah, it would be China, and first place would be the United States. Okay, yeah, I mean, you know, make a movie out of it and it'd be a hit, but when it's actual, you know, actually what went on here, who knows what in the world. And the number one thing, listener, as Judd points out, it's that many of our leaders telling us to follow the science, and they don't even follow the science themselves. And I don't know, I've seen it many times, but the picture I think you had included, I don't have the picture printed up because I can't afford to print those pictures, you know. Anyway, was that when Fauci was sitting there in the baseball park?
Yeah, I mean, he was at the baseball park. They're telling everybody to wear masks. He's sitting with two other people. One guy's wearing a mask. He has his mask at his chin, so his mouth and nose exposed. The other person has their mask totally off.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're told we have to wear a mask 24/7 when we eat, when we do everything, and now the guy that's telling us to wear a mask, he's violating his own rules. And it wasn't just him. It was Gavin Newsom in California. It was Whitmer. I mean, they all violated the rules that they're imposing on everybody else.
Yeah. The thing is, when you talk about the science, the way it is right now, you must be vaccinated before you return to school. That's for the young people who we already know the chance of them getting COVID is, you know, 99999.7 or something like that. It's almost impossible. And then the elderly, and we can get into that with Kumho. You know, last night on Carson Tucker, they had Tucker Carlson, yes, okay. Anyway, they had the woman who was all for all the vaccination and gets her teenage daughter vaccinated, and now the daughter is sort of like, is she going to live or not? I don't know if you saw that one or not, but it's...
It's interesting. You know, my daughter's 18 years old. She's about to go off to college, Fordham University, and they're requiring not just the COVID vaccine, but some other vaccines. So actually yesterday I had her go to the doctor to do this. So the doctor said to her, we're going to give you these other vaccines first. We're not going to do them in conjunction with the COVID vaccine, because if you have a negative reaction, then we want to know which vaccine it's from. So the doctors are acknowledging the potential of negative reactions of not only the COVID vaccine, but of all vaccines. And we're continually told they're safe. And, you know, we're behind the eight ball, because I think it's important for my daughter to go to college, but they're saying, and as most colleges are, you can't come unless you're vaccinated. So, you know, we're almost being bullied into this decision.
Well, and there are a lot of people making a lot of money, believe it or not. You know, you may not have to pay for your vaccine, but I'm telling you right now, somebody's paying for it, and somebody's making a lot of money off of it. And there are reports about how some of these people went ahead and bought up all this stock, you know, and this was like a year before it even hit. It's just too many. Maybe they do that automatically. I don't know. I'm not, you know, a guy that throws around lots of money, so I don't know what those people do, I guess. Yes. But, you know, don't wear the mask, do wear the mask. Don't worry about the shots. Get the shot and everything will be wonderful. Once you get the shot, you still have to wear the mask. It's kind of, it's funny. I actually asked a person who was working at Kaiser out here in California, and they had, you know, you had to wear the mask. I had to get a blood, blood sample. And so anyway, I said, you know, hey, I went in a restaurant. You know, it's a large chain restaurant, and they now have a sign. If you've had both of your COVID shots, you no need to wear a mask, all right? And they've kind of opened up these restaurants. So then you go into Kaiser, for example, and you have to wear a mask to go in, and maybe it's because that's where sick people go. I don't know. But anyway, I asked him, I said, boy, everybody has to wear a mask here. And I was telling her about the restaurant. I said, does this mean that the Kaiser shots are not working? They weren't too happy with that. But,
yeah.
You know, it's like the sheep, right? Just all get in a herd there, I guess, or something like that. And it's also like wearing a yellow star. Yep. Who have we indoctrinated here? Oh, they're all wearing masks. We point them out. Just there they are. I don't know. I want to mention the other thing here. We'll try to get to one of your other stories. What was the one about where the scientists were telling people about this safe thing? What was it? Let me find it here. 15 years?
Yeah. That was the big controversy about a year ago. Purdue Pharmaceuticals had been promoting OxyContin, which is an opioid. They're saying it's safe, it's not addictive. Right. And, you know, a lot of doctors throughout the country have been prescribing this on a regular basis. And it is basically the genesis of the opioid crisis in this country, which is killing 80-plus thousand people every year.
Every year. Wow.
You know, we listened to the scientists. The scientists were telling us, this is safe. It's not addictive. So we take the pills that the doctors give us, and next thing you know, we're losing tens of thousands of people every year because we listened to the scientists. And now here we are again, the doctors telling us this is safe, it's necessary, and we don't really know how safe it is.
Yeah.
It really hasn't been fully tested. So, you know, we're a little bit, you know, backed up against the wall here.
Yeah, and as Judd Garrett says in his article, if you want people to trust the scientists, we must demand that the scientists start acting trustworthy and stop lying to us to make money off of us. See, there's that money question again, you know. Boy, and the same ones who have brought us these vaccines are the same ones who brought us the virus. I think we're the ones that are on the losing end of this, Judd.
Yep.
Yeah. And the closing statement on this is most doctors and scientists are great, but there are some doctors and scientists who were complete charlatans, so we must question them all. And if science wants to be treated like a credible source and trusted, the scientists must start acting credibly and trustworthy. You know, when Fauci first came on the scene, and I was doing interviews, and a lot of the guests and I all agreed. And there was this sort of thing that there was one thing that Fauci, three words that Fauci would never, ever, ever say. And that was, I don't know.
Yeah, and you have to really question somebody who thinks they know it all.
That's right. It's like Imperfect Greatness. Oh, that'd be a wonderful title that we might be able to get into. And especially since I got a guy who knows a lot about the NFL. Tell me about this. Includes Vince Lombardi, right?
Yeah, I was watching a documentary on Vince Lombardi last week. And, you know, I'm a big fan of his and all of the success. So I was watching it, and, you know, they described him as an imperfect man trying to create something perfect. And when I heard that, I immediately thought of, you know, our founding fathers. Mm-hmm. Because we all know that they were imperfect men. They made mistakes in their lives, but they did try to create something perfect here in America. And the problem that I have is when you look at Lombardi, he's judged on all of his success. You know, he's not judged because he's imperfect. He's judged because he was very successful, five
right.
NFL championships. The problem is with our founders, they're judged primarily because they were imperfect people, and they're not really judged for, you know, what they created here. You know, as they say, the more perfect union. People want to overlook what they created and say, well, they were this and that and the other thing, and tear apart them as individuals. And I think we have to understand that we're all imperfect people. We're all susceptible to making mistakes, and we should be judged primarily on what good we bring to the world.
So let me put you on the spot here, okay? Trump, you know, he did real good when it comes to unemployment and blah, 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 blah. I just saw today, Judd, where the Biden administration announced, what it was, 800,000 new jobs or something like that. And I'm going, yeah, you know, it's those people are going back to work, you know, from COVID. But, you know, so Trump did a lot. But what about Biden, okay? Does he come into this in any way?
Well, I mean, yeah, I tried to compare Trump and Biden. I mean, Trump falls in that same category. He was an imperfect man, but he did a lot of great things for our country. Mm-hmm. Biden, you know, he's judged a lot more friendlier by the media because he's seen as a little bit less imperfect than Trump was. But when you're looking at the results and what he's doing to our country, there's not even a comparison between the two. I mean, the border's a mess, crime's, you know, going crazy, inflation's out the window. I mean, you know, a lot of our fundamentals of our country are falling apart under his watch, but they continually think that he's doing a great job because he doesn't have some of the imperfections of Trump. And again, I would rather have an imperfect leader who does a lot of really good things for our country than a less imperfect leader who's destroying our country the way Biden is.
You know, and even with the upcoming Independence Day, you know, Biden, rather than, you know, let's have a big fireworks show, you know, on the you know, at the Capitol grounds or whatever, right? He decides, no, we're going to have a swearing-in ceremony where people can become citizens, you know, and I guess because they can go back to work because he's going to do it on a Sunday, I imagine. But, you know, and then he didn't want to have the fireworks, you know, at Mount Rushmore, and he finally backed down on that. This I hate Trump syndrome, you know, they got to get it out of their system and just move on. It's just too obvious, the whole thing, you know. It's and Obama, you know, you mentioned him too. Got about 2 minutes for our break. He really, as you said, what was the word you used? He said he thought we were flawed, I think. Let me see. Yeah, he believed that America was fundamentally flawed, and that's why he aspired to fundamentally change America.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that was his catchphrase. You know, he was going to bring fundamental change to America, you know. And again, you know, Obama, you know, outwardly, you know, he was probably more perfect than the other ones. But again, all he saw in America was flaws, flaws, flaws. He didn't see America's greatness. He didn't recognize America's greatness. And again, he wanted to fundamentally change what was great about America. And again, you know, outward appearance is fine, but if what you're doing is destroying something that is great, you need to be judged on that as well.
Well, and you say, you know, his priority was to change America. And a lot of people don't know this, but if they listen to this program, they know that this whole thing with Biden, when he was running and what he's doing now, and when they start talking about build back better. I'd like for you to do an article on that someday, Judd, if you haven't already done one. Build Back Better actually came from the United Nations, and the basic thing is to tear down all this successful stuff that's, you know, doing this and doing this, because we got to build it back better, and building it back better means that we are in total control, and we got everything under control and under our thumb. That's the whole thing. It's the New World Order. You know, and then they've used all the other new names for it. All right, we're going to be right back. And remind me as soon as we get back, Judd, in case I forget. Got to tell people where they can get a copy of your excellent book, No Wind, But the Sailboat Is Still Moving. Yes, that's, well, anyway. No Wind, that's his first published novel. And the website, objectivityistheobjective.com. That's objectivityistheobjective.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to ask you a question. Did you know withdrawing your cash from the bank can be very risky? That's right. So please listen up. Are you aware that banks are now required to spy on us for the government and then report any behavior they think is suspicious? It's true. I was shocked as I read Swiss America's blockbuster report, The Secret War on Cash. This new war against cash is really a war against all freedom-loving Americans. Listen to me. You must read The Secret War on Cash. Now get your free copy by calling 866-219-3750. That's 866-219-3750. Or visit SwissAmerica.com. This war on cash is growing daily and also includes all forms of digital money. So please, get ahead, read The Secret War on Cash free to every Robert Davi fan today by calling 866-219-3750. That's 866-219-3750. And then you'll thank me later.
Let's talk about your credit cards. When you first start using them, it's a slow drip. You make charges, then more charges, then bills come, and they keep coming. When you open your statements, the floodgates come pouring in. You realize you have more credit card debt than you can afford, and you're barely making the minimum payments. Wouldn't it be nice to make one affordable payment and have all your credit card bills covered? Make this free call and learn our responsible way to get your credit card bills paid and under control.
Sponsored by Consumer Education Services, a nonprofit organization.
800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. That's 800-876-3643.
CESI is not a loan company. The establishment of a debt management plan may adversely affect your credit rating. Non-payment of debt may lead creditors to increase finance and other charges to undertake collection activity, including liquidation.
It's been tough talking to my doctor about constipation with belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. I finally laid all my symptoms out there and how they keep coming back. She said I may have irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C. We agreed it's time to try something different.
Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives. It lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. There could be more to your story with IBS-C. Visit a doctor in person or online. Say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by AbbVie and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
Everybody's talking at me. Chuck Wilder, CRN, with my guest, Judd Garrett. Objectivity is the objective. So build back better, you know. That does sound like, wow, fantastic. But then some people would say, well, there was nothing wrong there, Joe. You know, everything seemed to be going pretty good. What are we going to build back better? Yes. Did you know that came from the United Nations a long time ago?
I did not know that, but it sort of makes sense. I mean, and right along what you're saying is it's the typical, you know, Marxist way of doing things. They create these great sounding phrases, and what they're trying to do is they're trying to sneak in their Marxism and their communism, yeah, and develop this one world order utopia, which excellent, which never works out.
Yeah, one world and the new world order, and boy, I mean, you know, they got to get rid of that word order, because, you know, it just kind of reminds you of the Gestapo or something, yeah, like that, you know. A lot of great articles here that we have another one, Racial Conflict. Won't have time to get into that one. The novel No Wind. You know, now, are you living in Texas right now?
I am in Texas, yes.
So remember, listener, when I had all the – tell me if I'm wrong here, okay? When they had all the problems, you know, with the blizzard and everything, and all the windmills wouldn't work. So then you decided, yeah, to write a book called No Wind. It ain't going to work. No, I know that's not what it is, but you think about it sometime. No wind, and you're up the alley, so to speak, right? Tell us, yeah, about the novel, though.
It's not really a political novel. It's a coming-of-age story set in the late 90s. on the Jersey Shore. It's about two kids growing up, going to school together, going to prep school, playing baseball, going to the beach, you know, just struggling with, you know, some of the challenges and the life lessons that you get as a, you know, in your youth and your teenage years, and you know, forced to make certain decisions in life, and the lessons learned from that. So
let me ask you real quick: did any of those kids did they go to Princeton University? One of them, or anything?
Well, it's not truly a biographical story, but yeah. I've taken some of the some of the stories and the pieces from my life and included into the story, so you see some of the elements in there.
Now, let me put you on the spot here because, you know, the Raider came out and said, "I'm gay," and his T-shirt, I mean, not his T-shirt, but his jersey. Yeah, his jersey just sold like more than ever, ever, ever on one-day sales because he said, "I'm gay." There's two questions, okay? And the number one question, because I want to make sure I don't run out of time, is the other team going to hit him harder? You know, if they're, you know, prejudiced against gays, because some are still prejudiced against gays, you think he's going to be hit harder?
You know, there may be some people in the league who hold animosity towards him because he's gay, but I mean, they try to hit each other as hard as they can on every play anyway. So, you know, I don't know where the extra reservoir of strength would come from, but, I don't see any cheap shots come, and they may try to hit him as hard as they can. But, you know, for the most part, you know, we had Michael Sam at the Cowboys, and he was the first player to come out as gay, and he was with us. He never played in an actual game, but he was on our practice squad for a year, and I didn't really see many issues with that, at least in our locker room.
Yeah. Fantastic, and that's the way it ought to be, you know. Hey, listen, we're all out of time, Judd. I certainly appreciate it. Look forward to our next visit. Judd Garrett, G-A-R-R-E-T-T, No Wind, and I think there's a link for that real quick. Where's the best place to get that book?
Just go on Amazon, type in Judd Garrett, No Wind, and it'll pop right up.
All right, Judd Garrett, G-A-R-R-E-T-T, No Wind. Thank you very much. We'll do it again. And let's see. Oh, Selwyn Duke is right around the corner.
Enjoying all your favorite.
Everybody's talking at me.
CRN, Digital Talk Radio, Chuck Wilder here, Tomas at the network. We're live across America and also around the world at crntalk.com. Let me tell you about my guest, the one and only Selwyn Duke from The New American, all right? And he also contributes to college textbooks published by Gale Sinage Learning. He appears on television, radio shows, websites. He's all over the place. And the place he's all over is right here, right now. Yes. His website, Selwyn Duke, S-E-L-W-Y-N, Duke.com. Mr. Duke, how are you, sir?
Chuck, I'm not bad at all. I mean, TGIF, right? Thank God it's Friday, and thank God it's Friday, because on Friday, I'm on the Chuck Wilder Show. How are you?
I am fair to partly cloudy today, and a chance of an excellent show. All right. Man, I gotta tell you, this first article we're going to talk about has to do with the New York City mayoral race, and you sort of have to get in here and quote Hillary a couple of times, I think, but unbelievable, you would say, but that was before the 2020 election, so it's not unbelievable. But even for New York, this had to be a bunch of red flags, all right? The title of the article, New York City Mayoral Race, the Dems are back to degenerating our system. Did I get that right? Degenerating? Yeah, I think that's right. Is that the word?
Denigrating.
Denigrating. I added a double N or
something.
But they
do both.
Denigrating.
They do both. I'll be okay. They do both.
Well, how does Hillary have anything to
Yeah. Well, the Democrats are back to denigrating our system, and we're talking about, again, the mayoral race in New York City. And why do I say that? Well, in 2016, in a debate with Donald Trump, Trump was asked if he would accept the results of the election, and he wasn't sure because he was worried about the prospect of vote fraud. And Hillary Clinton said, well, to question our elections is the denigrating of our democracy. That's what she said.
That's right.
And then as soon as she lost, what did she commence doing? She was questioning the election six ways to Sunday. She was denigrating our democracy by her own description. They were saying Russia stole the election, right? And that lasted for a while. In fact, 4 years until when? Until Joe Biden ascended to the presidency. Notice I didn't say won the presidency. He ascended to the presidency. There's a difference. But then
now let me be the one that
fell out of.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, let me be the one to really, really surprise and shock the listener, okay, if they don't know about this, all right? There were 135,000 test votes accidentally counted in the New York City mayoral race. 135,000 test votes. Wow. And they say no such thing as voter fraud. Somebody had to be doing something, right?
Right, right. Well, that's the point. I mean, that's what I'm getting to. And then Joe Biden won the presidency. And then all of a sudden, if you question the election outcome, it was back to, no, you can't do that. You do that, you're complicit in the insurrection that wasn't. No insurrection there, January 6th. But anyway, so now that we have this election, this mayoral race in New York City among Democrats, all Democrats, mind you, because it's a one-party city, now all of a sudden questioning an election is fine again. Like you said, 135,000 test votes were added to the total. This was noticed by people in the online betting community first. That's according to Tucker Carlson. Just want to cite the source because I can't verify it myself. So in other words, the reporters, the liberal reporters, didn't pick up on it because they're not really concerned with right and wrong and the integrity of our system. Other politicians didn't pick up on it, but they did. And then Eric Adams, who's the Brooklyn Borough President in New York City and who was and is the front runner, complained about it. And at first he was mocked. They said, well, this is Trump kind of stuff. What's the matter with you? You must be some kind of nut. But then finally it was found to have been true, and they had to admit it. They had to issue a mea culpa, the Board of Elections in New York City. And so what's really going on here? We see the Democrats flipping back and forth. Oh, you can question an election. No, you can't. Yes, you can. No, you can't. Well, as I put it in my article, the truth on our system, Chuck, is plain. We have the safest, the most efficient, the most insecure, the most corrupt elections in the world, bar none. Bar none.
Yeah. I wonder, but it's whenever, I kind of wonder whenever all of this came out, if it was reported on Twitter or Facebook, you know, accidentally counted 135,000 test votes. And then, you know, because with Trump, the first time they censored him on Twitter, it was because he mentioned voter fraud. And they said there's no such thing as voter fraud. Then, you know, it went on and on and on. Anytime they had a chance, they would censor him. But I'm wondering, was it monkey see, monkey do on this one? Did Twitter and Facebook not report this, or do you have any idea?
No, I actually don't know. And I have to say, I do think that the adding of those votes probably was a mistake, and let me tell you why that's believable.
Okay.
In a subsequent article, I don't know if you were going to focus on this one, but I reported on how bad the Board of Elections is in New York City. New York City is basically like a third world country, except saying that is almost an insult to third world countries. And Tucker Carlson was doing this reporting. He said, last year, the New York Times reported that, quote, some staffers at the elections board read or watch Netflix at the office. Others regularly fail to show up for work with no fear of discipline. Several employees said some staffers punch in and then leave to go shopping or to the gym. One employee, quote, caught workers smoking marijuana at the Brooklyn voting machine warehouse on an election night, unquote. And then Tucker Carlson said, but remember, America, don't question the election results. Only fascists do that. Fascists and the QAnon army. So we're talking about rank incompetence here. But again, incompetence and corruption go hand in hand, and all of this gives us cause to question our elections. And, you know, I pointed out in that article, because I remember these things, that in 2016, Project Veritas conducted a sting operation exposing vote fraud, and they caught on hidden camera then the elections commissioner in Manhattan, Alan Shulkin, saying, quote, "I think there's a lot of vote fraud." And then he was talking about how there should be voter ID. This Democrat was more an old blind Democrat, Shulkin was. Mm-hmm. He was saying they bus people around to different precincts. In other words, he was saying so that they could vote multiple times. Remember, you don't need voter ID in New York City. It's one of many places where that's the standard. So you can vote maybe in one place, vote in another place claiming to be someone else who's moved out of the neighborhood. There's a lot of corruption. You had that Democrat admitting it. I mean, there are other Democrats I've cited. That character, Scott Foval, he was a Democrat operative who was engaged in vote fraud. He was caught on hidden camera by Project Veritas. He said years ago that they've been bussing people around for 50 years to deal with you MFers. Of course, I'm not going to say the word that he actually used, and we're not going to stop. I mean, there's a lot of vote fraud. It's just a shame, but we have become like a third world country, and it's a real problem. And in New York City, they still have thousands of mail-in ballots left to count. So you have to say, who's going to win? I mean, Eric Adams, who's less radical than the other Democrats running, like I said, he's the front runner, Chuck. But initially, after the first vote count, he was about 10 points ahead. So it looked like he had a comfortable lead. But New York City is now using this ranked choice voting system for the first time, where a voter lists his candidates in terms of preference. And then I'm not sure exactly how it works, but basically if his candidate is knocked out, something like that, then the vote for his second place goes, I don't know. It's just ridiculous.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, and you put it perfectly in here. System that was instituted years ago in Port Chester, New York, and that's not too far from where Mr. Duke lives. I'll give you his address if he ever really makes me mad. Okay, anyway. basically what you said, every resident gets six votes. Seriously. And it's part of a scheme meant to facilitate the election of Hispanics. Is that because there are more Latinos in the area or what?
Well, at the time, Hispanics were only 20-some-odd percent of the voting-age population, and the liberals were complaining because they didn't have Hispanics in government in Port Chester. And their thinking was, well, if we give every resident six votes, the Hispanics are probably going to give all of their six votes to a Hispanic candidate, so that should increase the chances that a Hispanic candidate will win, whereas the other people in Port Chester might be more likely to spread their votes out among different candidates, if you see what I'm saying. But this is so ridiculous because the purpose of our voting system is not to get people of a certain ethnicity elected. It's to ascertain what the will of the people is. We're supposed to have one man, one vote. And what the liberals are doing is they can't even run elections, simple elections. Now they want to make them more complex. It's like I've said in my article. I mean, they can't even handle that little balsa wood airplane with the rubber band and the string. They can't even fly that, but they insist on taking the helm of a jumbo jet. They can't run the election in New York City, but they want to run the city. And not only that, Chuck, they want to run our elections nationwide with H.R. 1. That bill trying to make its way through Congress, which would basically federalize all these elections and institutionalize these vote fraud facilitating norms. It's unbelievable, like mail-in voting, which, by the way, which has been outlawed in France since 1975 because they understood that it made it so easy to perpetrate vote fraud. And you can stop me if I'm going on too long, case in point. A case in point. Last year, May 12th, in Paterson, New Jersey, there was a special election between two Democrats again, and the mail-in vote fraud was found to have been so egregious, Chuck, that a judge ordered a new election must be held. Mail-in vote fraud is rife. Mail-in voting, I should say, is rife with fraud. Later on that year, in August, the New York Post published this expose. They did an investigation where they were citing an anonymous source who was involved in mail-in vote fraud. And he was talking about how easy it was, the mechanics of it. And he mentioned the case in Paterson, New Jersey. He said the only reason why the mail-in vote fraudsters were busted there was because they were so amateurish and sloppy. They dropped off 900 fraudulent votes at one mailbox, I think the figure was.
Yeah.
He said, this anonymous source, you know, if I'd been doing it, that never would have happened because the votes would have been spread around the city and no one would have been any the wiser. So
when,
this system is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
On the where they dropped off those 900, wasn't that when the rapper did a song about that, how he was taking all of those and also gathering benefits somehow or the other? He was picking them up, and he had all those addresses he was using, and he did a song. And they said, you know, that's how they caught him, because he recorded a rap song. Anyway, does that ring a bell at all? I didn't hear the song. I just heard about it in parts of it. Yeah, I'll tell you what, almost time for the break, but Trump called the New York City election an embarrassment and total mess. But he said it was far better and far more accurate than his 2020 presidential election. Yeah. So what are people complaining about? But then I love your closing thing, your close here, and I'm going to let you tell them. How did you end this one up here with a couple of sentences?
Okay, well, I asked, so who'll win in the Big Apple? Well, Chuck, perhaps it comes down to who is the best vote fraud operation. And now, well, that's what I call denigration. Call me Chuck, the denigrator-in-chief.
There you go. The title, New York City Mayoral Race, Dems are back to denigrating. How come I'm not getting that word right? Denigrating. I got it.
Denigrating
our system. I did it. Thank you, Hillary. I saw Hillary right under that, and I said, there you go. You want to hear something weird? Oh, my goodness. Wait until you hear this story. Coming up next from Selwyn Duke. And it's 18 operations. And a white man wants to become a Korean. I'm not joking. SelwynDuke.com. Be right back.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
Peanuts was probably the most beloved comic strip in the history of the world. And now there's an artfully assembled documentary about its creator, Charles Schulz. It's called Who Are You, Charlie Brown? And available on Apple TV+.
Peanuts is just its own planet.
I think Charlie Brown is just a little bit of what all of us have inside of us.
That's the voice of the real Charles Schulz, who died at 78 some 21 years ago. But unfortunately, this handsome tribute film includes generalized expressions of appreciation from oddly assorted celebrities rather than deeply revealing recollections from Schulz himself or his immediate friends and family. The animation of Charlie Brown, Lucy, Linus, Snoopy, and the rest of the gang is all lovely, even heartwarming at times. The central question posed by this promising project is never fully answered, but it's still worthy of 2.5 stars and your attention to ponder, who are you, Charlie Brown?
The smartest way for you to get the lowest prices on your plane tickets, domestic or international, is to call SmartFares, first or last, but you've got to call us before you book your plane tickets. Fly anywhere in the world, fly anywhere in the U.S., and SmartFares can save you up to 75% on your plane tickets. We have the lowest airline ticket prices on over 500 airlines, and you've got a great 12-hour free cancellation window. Plus, with our live agent help, you can always get fast help and fast answers. So on your next trip, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, how about right now? Pick up your phone and call SmartFares. Plus, save up to 75% on your plane reservation. So call right now. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644.
Do you want to fly somewhere, anywhere in the world? Smart travelers call MyFlightSearch.com for the best deals on flight tickets. Going to Manila, Bangkok, London, how about Singapore? Call MyFlightSearch.com for the lowest flight tickets available. What about a local vacation? Let's say you want to fly to Vegas, Orlando, Miami, Los Angeles, or Denver. Pick up the phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now. We have exclusive deals that you can't find anywhere else. The only way you can get these low airline prices is by calling us. We have so many low prices available, we can't possibly tell them to you right here and now. If you're flying somewhere anytime in the next 6 months and you want the lowest airline ticket prices anywhere, you owe it to yourself to save a ton of money. So pick up your cell phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now.
Call 800-445-3166. 800-445-3166. That's 800-445-3166. Call now. 800-445-3166.
Everybody's talking at me.
Chuck Wilder's CRN with Selwyn Duke, The New American, thenewamerican.com, his website where you can read all these excellent articles, selwynduke.com. And I don't want to leave you hanging there, listeners. So on that last story, so mail-in voting, not too good. So Selwyn, what do you do? Do you get out of your lazy chair and head down to the polling place and vote in person? And if you can't do it, get somebody to escort you down there? Or what's the best way? What's your opinion?
Yeah, no, absolutely. You have to show up at the polls. I mean, that can't negate the possibility of all mail-in vote fraud, but it'll guarantee, hopefully, that your vote will be counted, because you have to remember, there was a lot of evidence during the 2020 election or after it that a massive number of Trump votes were discarded. And when you're mailing in votes, well, that can very easily happen. I mean, I think I reported on this, that a postal worker even testified or at least told someone that, you know, the way it works is that if votes are coming from a heavily conservative area, sometimes they'll just dump all the mail. So, you know, you have this chain of custody problem. Who's handling the votes? Too many people are. There are too many opportunities for shenanigans. So, no. Don't mail in the vote. Come on, get to the polling place. Do it the right way, the way we always used to do it. I mean, I'm old enough to remember, Chuck, when you voted on Election Day, the votes were counted, and we knew the result that evening. And that's why it's called Election Day and not Election Month or Election 7 week period, because it's supposed to occur on Election Day. And the only reason why they're extending the time for voting and the time for counting the votes is because they want to widen the window for vote fraud. That's what they're doing, aside from the fact that they want to rally the idiot vote as much as possible, because people on the left, Chuck, know that low information voters tend to vote for them, so they want to get the turnout as high as possible.
And of course they got the ballot harvesting, which is available just about everywhere. HR1 would just automatically make that. They just go in those nursing homes, and there you go. Fill this. Hey, fill it. We'll do it for you. Don't worry about it. You know, and another thing, too, if you had to mail it in, my suggestion is on the stamp, don't use an American flag stamp, all right? Please, because, you know, automatically that's gone. That's in the trash, I would imagine. Chuck, are you making this up?
You
of course I am.
Chuck?
Yeah.
No, Chuck,
what?
You know, that's a very astute observation. You're right. You're right, because they can profile that letter and say, hey, this more than likely comes from a conservative. You're absolutely dead right about that. Good call.
Hey, don't say dead right. I'm not feeling too good today. Just say right.
Okay. You're alive right. You're alive right.
Yeah. I guarantee you, listener, you're going to be glad you tuned in today, I think, because this next story is one of the most amazing, but yet today, you know, here we are in July, in case this is being repeated. Well, who knows. Anyway, here is a trans-racialism, that's the good title. After 18 operations, this non-binary white man says he's now Korean. About two minutes or so before the break, Selwyn, but no problem. I know this is going to take a while. This is something else. And this is not made up. You just didn't start drinking that day when you made this one, did you?
No, not at all. There's even video to prove it. But, you know, as I say in my article, it used to be that when people believed they were something they weren't, we called them crazy, right? Now they may be called brave and by odd pronouns, Chuck, as those calling them what they are called names. But what's really just as crazy as that, Chuck, are the people who cherry pick which delusion shall be exalted. Okay, and we're going to get to that. But anyway, this story is about this British social influencer, as they call them, who, after 18 operations, as you said, claims to actually be Korean. Now, not just in terms of nationality, because I don't think he lives in Korea, but actually racially, he claims to be Asian now. And his name is Ollie London, and he wants to be called by the name Jimin, because actually one of his idols, a singer, that's his name, Jimin, a Korean singer. Yes. And anyway, he's had, as we said, operations. He's put videos online. He also claims to be, quote, non-binary, which means he doesn't identify as male or female. But it's a very, very interesting thing, Chuck, because I was thinking, you know, why not? This all makes sense. If you can just identify as the other sex or some other, quote, gender, well, why not? This might work for me, Chuck.
I can now become a black female
social commentator. That will really help my cause. I'll be a real novelty.
And chances are, Selwyn, as we go into this break, you could probably vote three times. Binary, right? Or at least twice. Yes, I don't know.
That's right.
Break your time. We're going to be right back for the rest of this story. Jimin, K-pop group, BTS. During the break, I'm going to figure out what BTS stands for. Korean pop group. BTS. I'll get it down here in a moment. Or Selwyn might even come up with it. It's SelwynDuke.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to ask you a question. Did you know withdrawing your cash from the bank can be very risky? That's right. So please listen up. Are you aware that banks are now required to spy on us for the government and then report any behavior they think is suspicious? It's true. I was shocked as I read Swiss America's blockbuster report, The Secret War on Cash. This new war against cash is really a war against all freedom-loving Americans. Listen to me. You must read The Secret War on Cash. Now get your free copy by calling 866-219-3750. That's 866-219-3750. Or visit SwissAmerica.com. This war on cash is growing daily and also includes all forms of digital money. So please, get ahead, read The Secret War on Cash free to every Robert Dobby fan today by calling 866-219-3750. That's 866-219-3750. And then you'll thank me later.
Tired of lockdown? Let the reconnect begin. You belong here. Welcome home to the magic of Angelo's and Vinci's Ristorante in Fullerton, California. Check out our new spacious outdoor dining alfresco. Romantic, market lights. It looks like a movie set. Dine under the stars and enjoy our tasty Angelo's and Vinci's pizza, pasta, seafood, chicken, salad dinners, and more. In the cool of the evening, come enjoy our award-winning menu, new wine list, specialty cocktails like our Peach Bellini Martini, appetizers, and more. Angelo's and Vinci's now open every day from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. for relaxing outdoor dining. No reservations needed. Just come on in for delicious Italian food. Angelo's and Vinci's Ristorante, 550 North Harbor Boulevard in Fullerton. Call 714-879-4022. We're going to need a lot of pasta to get through this year. Come to Angelo's and Vinci's at 550 North Harbor Boulevard in Fullerton today.
Imagine this is your money and someone wants to take it from you. Who is it? The IRS. They want your money, and guess what? They can legally take it, all of it if they want. Remember, they sent you that letter that said, hey, you owe us a bunch of cash and we're going to take it from you. So what do? Fight back by letting our team of experts at the Tax Helpline work it out with the IRS so you can keep your money. And we're good at what we do. When you hire us, you get a team of guys on your side that know the IRS laws and will fight to save your money. So, if you owe the IRS a ton of cash and you want to keep it, call right now and learn for free how we can help you put it back in your pocket.
800-932-1597. 800-932-1597. 800-932-1597. That's 800-932-1597.
When you invest, what do you need? Investors need foresight and prediction so they can invest with confidence. Is the stock market going up and down? What about precious metals or Bitcoin? The stock market may be treading water right now, but now may be a more opportune time to invest in precious metals. Are gold and silver booming? What do you buy? Bullion? Mining stocks? Which ones? The cryptocurrency market is also advancing strongly, but which ones do you buy? John Truman Wolf, former banker and number one best-selling author, gives you the answers in his widely read newsletter, Strategic Financial Intelligence, available at strategicfinancialintelligence.com. Wolf called the breakout of the gold market and the breakout of the silver market. He may not have a crystal ball, but his investment picks tell a story. Metals and digital currencies are on the move. Don't miss out. Go to strategicfinancialintelligence.com and get the Strategic Financial Intelligence newsletter today. Strategicfinancialintelligence.com.
Everybody's talking at me.
Chuck Wilder, CRN, with my guest Selwyn Duke from the New American, talking about this article, Transracialism. After 18 operations, non-binary white man says he's now Korean and he simply wanted to look like Park Jiming, J-I-M-I-N, from the K-pop group BTS. And so when I found out, let me give you some of their songs here real quick, all right? Hit song, okay. Dynamite. There's one. Dynamite, Boy with Love, Mic Drop, that's the Japanese version, Fake Love, Bang Tang, Life Goes On, I Need You, Save Me, Boys, Boys in Lux, Dope, Blood, Sweat, and Tears, Fire, Black Swan, and then the one that a lot of people tell me, Go, 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 just love yourself and get out of here. Anyway, but you have a video on your, if you go to SelwynDuke.com and check this one out, you'll also see a video of him. But the thing is, you know, that is really, really extreme, don't you think? I mean, or is it equal to just saying, you know, I just want to all of a sudden be a girl with big boobs and blonde hair, you know, switch over. But this is really extreme, isn't it?
Well, it is. It is. I mean, this fellow, as you said, you know, he's a fan of this Park Jimin, but he said, quote, I identify with the Korean community. Maybe they will accept me more now because I have the look, quote unquote. Maybe people will think I'm actually Korean, which will make me really happy. They can see how much I love their culture. This is the extreme length that I've gone to because I love Korea so much. So he had an operation to make his eyes look more Asian, for instance, among other operations. And he also said that he wanted to make the singer Jimin, quote, proud that I look exactly like him now and have his eyes. And again, he says this all in videos.
Hey, here's something. You just said, and I have his eyes. So does that mean?
Yeah, I know. Probably Jimin wants him back.
Yeah, but also, I mean, boy, that is a serious operation. You know, I've even been to that, you know, getting rid of a cataract, you know. And I wanted a Pontiac, but I had a cataract, you know what I'm saying here? Hey, by the way, one of my sources from CRN tells me that BTS, it means Bulletproof Boy Scouts. That's translated from Korean. Bulletproof Boy Scouts. Yeah.
Really?
See,
okay.
All this time we're making culture. Yeah. What were you going to say?
That sounds like higher culture, Chuck.
Well, and also, all this time, I mean, Boy Scouts, we might as well just leave this story now. They have enough problems, don't they? I'll tell you. Oh,
yeah.
Boy.
But no,
you just did one on them, too,
continue.
Just a couple of weeks back. Go ahead.
Yeah. Let's continue with this. You know, we don't know how much this guy's claims are driven by actual disordered feelings, although certainly he's a troubled individual. There's no doubt about that. And how much of it's just driven by a desire for attention, although, as I said in my article, both motivations, Chuck, are probably factors. But he's clearly a confused, troubled man, and he deserves pity, much more so than his enablers. And there are plenty of enablers out there. And one of them is a writer who I cited in my piece. Her name is Alana Rubin. And when she wrote about him, she was referring to him using his, quote, preferred pronouns, they and them, which is completely ridiculous. So the reader could get confused because you don't even know what the writer is talking about. But anyway, Rubin also quoted this person. She mentioned that this fellow London was taking some heat on social media because people didn't like the fact that he was identifying as Asian, and cited one fellow who wrote, quote, the fact that they, again, using the plural pronoun to identify this man, The fact that they are acting like it's genuine and that it's part of a journey due to identity issues really irks me, a non-binary Korean person said on Twitter. It's a mockery of trans people. It's cultural appropriation. And as I pointed out in my article, well, you know, this is really rich, Chuck. We have someone here who is denying his own sexual reality. He calls himself non-binary, and he's irked because someone else is denying his own racial reality. And understand how ridiculous this is, because the differences, genetically speaking, Chuck, between the sexes are far greater than those among the races. Absolutely. Very, very profound, the difference. And not only that, if we're going to say that this London fellow is guilty of cultural appropriation, then isn't every person who claims to be, quote, transgender guilty of sexual appropriation? Why don't we say that? It's amazing, though. If you read the comments under London's video, he's got one on YouTube. I think there was one on Twitter. He probably has them elsewhere as well. It's amazing, Chuck, how many people don't get this. This simple truth eludes them. And it's just a testimonial, Chuck, as to how people are governed more by what's fashionable than by what's logical or what's right. And as I point out in my article, really both these trans ideas, you know, that you can become the opposite sex, that maybe you could become another race, are indicative of the same very, very deep mistake. And this is something that increasingly has plagued us, the rejection or denial of objective reality. You know, so many of us now are so solipsistic. Solipsism is the belief that the only thing that you can know is that the self exists. Mm-hmm. You know, we act as if we can define our own reality, so many of us. You know, it's a function of godlessness, as I point out in my article, because it can be an example, Chuck, of self-deification, with a person putting himself in the place of the author of reality, God, and claiming to be able to write that book himself. And so, basically, we have the subordination of reality to unreal identity, as we essentially say, not I am what God made me, but I am what I make myself. That's really what this comes down to. It's a denial of objective reality. And this is very dangerous for civilization in general, Chuck, because when you have an out-of-touch-with-reality civilization where you have even authorities, supposedly intelligent, educated people embracing this nonsense, then you have to ask, how imperiled are you? Will these people be able to perceive reality with respect to keeping us safe from the Chinese, from the Russians, from terroristic threats? Will they be able to separate fact from fiction when devising foreign policy or when assessing national security threats? I mean, if you can't figure out the difference between boys and girls, can you really figure out the difference between friend and foe?
Or right and wrong?
Right and wrong. This is not a joke. Mm-hmm. This is not a joke at all. I mean, look, to put it in very real terms, what if you had a guy who was in charge of security at your office or who was guarding your house and you found out he was completely out of touch with reality, didn't know the difference between boys and girls, was entertaining all sorts of nonsense? Wouldn't you be a little worried about your security? Wouldn't you say, you know, I don't know if this guy could keep me safe? But anyway.
And also, you can imagine somebody comes up on the lawn and the guy's, you know, on the front porch guarding your supposedly mansion or whatever. And the guy comes up in a police uniform, and that's actually his new identity, okay? You know what I'm saying?
That's actually a good point.
Yeah. You know, you have,
exactly.
I guess, I don't know if you made it up, but I know you use it a lot, the MUSS, M-U-S-S, made up sexual status of transgender, right? Yeah. Was that you coined that, right?
Yeah, no, I coined that, and everyone should embrace it, because the side that defines the vocabulary of a debate wins the debate, as the book The Tyranny of Words pointed out many decades ago. And one mistake people on the right make all the time is that they use what I call the lexicon of the left, the terminology of the other side. They do it reflexively. You know, they use transgender instead of MUSS, made-up sexual status. There's no such thing as transgender. You cannot switch your gender, and humans don't have gender anyway. Only words are supposed to have gender. That's another thing. People have the quality of sex.
I hear them now shouting, yes, men can have babies now. Men can have babies. I don't know if it was some protest that was going on, you know, and they had signs. Yes, men can have babies. Yeah, man, what? But you know what listener, if you've never, ever heard Selwyn Duke, or if maybe you forgot, but you shouldn't have because we mention it a lot because it's one of the best descriptions, and this guy comes really close, all right? 18 operations to go from white to Korean. But as Selwyn, and I'm going to let him describe it to you, let's say you decide you need heart surgery. Go ahead, Selwyn.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Yeah, we're talking about the so-called transgender agenda. Yeah, well, I always put it like this. I say, you know, if you go into a doctor, to a cardiologist, and you say, Doc, I'm just sure I have heart disease. And by the way, I was in this boat recently because I was checked out, and I thought I had heart disease. Well, what does the doctor do? Well, he checks you out. He performs tests to see if you have the markers of heart disease. He doesn't just say, well, okay, you feel that you've got heart disease, or you're feeling strong and persistent. Have they persisted for more than 6 months? Okay, I'll cut open your chest and perform a bypass. He doesn't do that, but that is absolutely what is done when you go into a doctor and you claim to have gender dysphoria, feelings of strong, as they call it, cross-gender identification, where you say, Doc, I've always felt like a girl. I'm sure I'm a girl deep down. Mm-hmm. I want to transition. They don't use any physiological test, any real medical test to determine that a biological phenomenon is at issue, Chuck. There is no blood test. There is no genetic test. There is no brain scan to determine that a biological phenomenon is causing your so-called gender dysphoria. They make the diagnosis solely based on feelings, as they put it, strong and persistent feelings of cross-gender identification that have persisted for more than 6 months. And on that basis, and that basis alone, they can tell you that you can dress as the opposite sex. They might prescribe puberty blockers for kids. They might prescribe cross-sex hormones so that you start developing the secondary sexual characteristics of the opposite sex. And ultimately, they might prescribe the mutilation that they euphemistically call gender reassignment surgery, all based on feelings. This is malpractice. I've said it before. I cannot believe that there have not been lawsuits on this basis yet, and I think one day these people may be sued out of the business, because this is true quackery, if ever there was any. I mean, this is even worse than the performing of lobotomies many decades ago, which was done gratuitously at one time.
And, you know, Tucker Carlson had two people on that really, really regretted having the operations, you know, and losing their identity, so to speak, below the waistline. You know, the what was the other
one
thing
was
going to ask? Yeah, go ahead.
No, one boy, Nathaniel, I've cited him. We didn't know his last name. It was withheld for privacy reasons.
Yeah.
But anyway, he had bottom surgery, and you can imagine what that is. That's the removal of the genitalia when he was 18 because he claimed to be the opposite sex. Months later, he regretted it. He said it was a Frankenstein-like procedure, and he said, I feel as if I've ruined my life. A horrible, horrible story, but he speaks for so many. Yeah. And this was perpetrated upon him by complete and utter quacks who should know better. They should be the adults in the room and say, no, kid, you don't do this. The problem is not between your legs. It's between your ears. We don't need to change your body. We need to change your mind. The fact that they didn't step up to that plate and do right by that kid and so many others means, in my estimation, that they should be in jail. Sorry, but that's what I
believe. You know what? Yes, yes. And I'll tell you something, Selwyn. There are still people in denial, and they cannot believe it when you say, listen, if your kid's in the fourth, fifth grade, they can have surgery to change their sex, and the parents have nothing to say about it. Oh, no, I don't know where you get this information at. Yeah, well, just check it out, you know. What's going on there and switching over, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, no, it is unbelievable what's going on. I mean, they'll prescribe puberty blockers for kids who are 10 years old, because actually the average age at which boys enter puberty now is 10, believe it or not. That's another story.
They don't have to tell the parents what they're doing.
Now, it's disgusting what's going on.
Yeah.
I mean, this is all part of our sexual devolution, as I call it. I think I coined that, too. It's not a sexual revolution. It's a sexual devolution, as in deterioration, Too many even conservatives have bought into it, and we have to get back to reality, get back to moral reality, and understand what's going on and resist this, because this will absolutely destroy our society. As I said before, if you can't tell the difference between boys and girls, can you really discern the difference between friend and foe? What are you going to be able to figure out? How much will you be able to separate the wheat from the chaff on things that really matter?
So here's my million-dollar question for you here, about a minute or so before the break. You said you went in because you were thought you were having a little heart problem, right? And so they checked you out. And did he say there's nothing there?
Well, yeah, they found that I have no heart and just barely a brain. No, actually, Chuck, I got some good news and some bad news.
Yeah.
They said that I have the heart and the blood work of a 25-year-old man. That's the good news. The bad news is he wants them back.
Yes. And you say, well, what's his political affiliation? And I'll think about it, right? I'll tell you what, and sort of before 1 minute before the break, some people, I mean, you got to think about this, okay? Like in California, we got Newsom, right? They got billions of dollars. Yeah. We're now going to be paying, as of today, the highest gas prices anywhere in the United States. You know, and they've got all this money, but they're just going to bring it up anyway. So, you know, he's been recalled. We're going to see if we can get him out of there. So maybe even Caitlyn Jenner might even be better than Newsom. I don't know. It's any comment on that?
Well, you know, we know that Jenner was an Olympian, and being better than Newsom is a very low bar to clear, if you know what I mean. So even though Jenner is long in the tooth and isn't quite the athlete he once was, I think he can clear that bar of being better than Gavin Newsom, because quite frankly, I think that a dog would be better than Gavin Newsom in that position.
There you go. And I'll tell you something, clearing the bar, I don't know, because Newsom closed the bars. See, COVID-19.
Oh.
Yes, Selwyn Duke's going to be back. We're going to wrap things up. We'll touch on another thing, but this unbelievable. We should have had more time. Washington sex ed. Are you ready for this? Once you're a tween, you're pretty much on your own with sex. Can you believe that? All right. SelwynDuke.com. Be back.
The smartest way for you to get the lowest prices on your plane tickets, domestic or international, is to call SmartFares, first or last, but you've got to call us before you book your plane tickets. Fly anywhere in the world, fly anywhere in the U.S., and SmartFares can save you up to 75% on your plane tickets. We have the lowest airline ticket prices on over 500 airlines, and you've got a great 12-hour free cancellation window. Plus, with our live agent help, you can always get fast help and fast answers. So on your next trip, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, how about right now? Pick up your phone and call SmartFares. Plus, save up to 75% on your plane reservation. So call right now. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644.
Deb's constipation with belly pain, discomfort, and bloating kept giving her grief. She talked to her doctor to get some relief. Turns out Deb had irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C, which was a start. Saying yes to Linzess helped her do her part.
Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives. It lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. There could be more to your story with IBS-C. Talk to a doctor today. Say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by AbbVie and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
You order a glass of your favorite Cabernet, fresh asparagus, hollandaise on the side, a filet, medium rare. You unfurl your napkin with a flare, close your eyes, and prepare to listen. Ah, there it is. The sweet music you long to hear. The sizzle. The sizzle of a Ruth's Chris steak.
The most magnificent corn-fed prime beef, broiled to perfection at 1,800 degrees. Some call it a sizzle. We call it an anthem.
As the waiter approaches, you think, is this one mine or that one?
Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Like Ruth always said, life's too short to eat anywhere else.
Make a reservation online at RuthsChris.com or by calling 800-544-0808.
Everybody's talking at me.
Chuck Wilder, CRN, with Selwyn Duke, the New American. Great stuff all the time from SelwynDuke.com. There's another one, Mayo Lives, Mayo. January 6th, defendant required to confess her sins for leniency. I'm sorry, yes, I'm, oh boy. And then this one, Washington sex ed. Once you're a tween, T-W-E-E-N, you're pretty much on your own with sex. It's not up to the parents and no discussion. It's probably the number one subject in school they're teaching now, I guess, Selwyn, or trying to, or are indoctrinating. What in the world is this one about? This is in Tacoma, Washington, I think. Is that where it is?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Well, this, again, is part of what I mentioned before the break, our sexual devolution, where we have sex education in schools in the first place, and we actually shouldn't. Okay, it grew out of the work of pedophile Alfred Kinsey, who was a scientific fraud. But not only do we have it in schools, but it's becoming increasingly perverse. And for instance, in this case, at this Stewart Middle School in Tacoma, they actually had this Planned Parenthood flyer that instructed, once you're 11, you can have sex with somebody 2 years older or less. If you're 12, you can have sex with somebody who's 3 years older or less. And they also said that you could get an abortion at any age without parental consent. Wow. The handout also listed other items, Chuck, that kids did not need parental consent for. Examples were birth control, as well as HIV and STD testing, sexually transmitted disease testing. So the flyer, this is according to a site, the Post-Millennial, quote, the flyer encouraged sexting and advertised that condoms and emergency contraception could be obtained at any age. Now, I know we don't have much time, so anyway, Eric Hogan, who is the assistant director of secondary education at Tacoma Public Schools, he said that it was a mistake, that they no longer work with Planned Parenthood, that the flyer was left over in a binder from previous times and was accidentally handed out to the kids. And, you know, he's probably telling the truth about that, but that's not really the point. The point is, one, as I said, we should not have sex education in the schools. And two, the problem is not an individual trespass. The problem here, just as with critical race theory, Chuck, is not that you had this flyer handed out to kids. The problem with critical race theory is not that critical race theory is being peddled. The deeper problem is that we have the kind of educators in school who would hand out this sexualized flyer to kids, or who would peddle critical race theory. Because you can purge the critical race theory from the schools and this flyer from the schools, but the nature of those educators is not going to change. They need to be eliminated because they are toxic to the kids. That is the deeper problem here.
Wow, I'll tell you. And you say, also note that modern sex education began with the work of pedophile, scientific fraud, Alfred Kinsey. Kinsey, right?
It did.
Did, in fact, collect sexual response data even on infants. How do you
That's
check
the truth.
Out an inf? Yeah, and you say, use your imagination. Wow. Well, Selwyn, there's our award-winning music there. Appreciate it, sir.
Wow. Thank you, and God bless.
God bless you. Everything Selwyn does, A to Z, is absolutely okay. Yes. That's pretty good. I like that. Selwyn Duke, the new American, and his website, selwynduke.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Tomas, and God bless the United States of America.